This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Happy Sabbath, church family, again. God has given me a message, and He has been working on me for a while until I decided, yes, I have to bring this to my church family. We live times, or in times, where messages that sometime in the past would have been directed specifically and almost only to the young people, these days have to be directed to everybody. Why? Because reality changed in a way that even those people that did not belong to the group that was internet consumer or internet depending, today have to be on the internet. No matter if you are young or older, if you want to keep in touch with reality, you have to be somehow connected to the world, virtual world. Give me a like, please. That's the title of my message. Give me a like, please. How do you feel when somebody gives you a like? Especially when you really want it, when you really desire it. And that can happen in the virtual world when you post something and you expect, you check, see, does anybody like what I posted? Or it can happen in real life, in physical reality, when you look to see whether somebody gives you thumbs up. The other day I saw somebody posted a picture on Facebook, a young man that posted his muscles. And there was one like given to that picture. Who do you think gave that like to that picture? The first like he received. Yeah, it was him. He was so eager to get a like that he immediately gave himself a like. And this is a very interesting game in the virtual reality, because some social media platforms have a like and a dislike. If you go on YouTube, you can see that there is a thumbs up and a thumbs down button. I checked our church service right at the beginning, and it was obvious that almost immediately when the church service started, some people already gave a like. And you always have one or two people that almost from the beginning, they give a dislike. Because there are some pre-established patterns that people go by. But then there are social media platforms where you only can give a like or maybe unlike. But you never can give a dislike. It's like, hey, we don't care if you don't like this. If you like it, okay, go ahead and like it. But if you don't like it, we don't care. Then you have those platforms where they push you. They push for a like. You read something and you only can see the title. And there's a video attached to that title or an article, and you would like to see what that is. Most of the time it's a fake kind of thing. So you want to read or watch that video, but you cannot. Because once you click on it, they immediately will ask you to like it. Like it in advance. All right. So what if after I read it or after I watch it, I do not like it? Well, we don't care. You've liked it already anyways. See? Like unlike, dislike. Give me a like, please. In a context where somebody, a man of God, was acting weirdly, he was a strange, a weirdo in a context where he was expecting people to give him some likes, another man of God has to approach him directly, has to come to him and talk some truth to him. In a letter to the Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10, you can read this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's the New King James Version. I use another translation as well, so you can see how it works. Let's see the other translation. The New American Standard Version. For am I now seeking the favor of man or of God? That's the question. Or am I striving to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I came up with a translation. I call it a social media version. So let's see that one. Am I trying to impress man or God? Am I trying to get a like from man? If I were still trying to get a thumbs up from people, I wouldn't be the servant of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, yes, we are in this reality, your children. In the physical world where we crave for a like, and in the virtual world where everybody wants a like from us, and we would like to get some likes ourselves. Father, we pray that you will teach us through the Holy Spirit as to how we can handle this reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When it comes to this topic of the intersection between the physical reality in which we live and the virtual world, the first word that we have to speak about is identity. Identity. Who you are. Who I am. Identity has different meanings in different ages. It is very interesting how in different segments of history, people relate differently to their own identity because the circumstances are different. Just imagine yourself living 100 years ago. If you lived 100 years ago and you messed up, like you messed up big time, there was a likelihood you could hide. For instance, for me, if I lived in Europe, where I'm from originally, it was very customary in those days, if you messed up, if you did something terrible, something horrible there, then you will try to find a ship that will take you somewhere else. And you would sail to America, probably. You couldn't fly those days, but you could sail for a few weeks or months. You came here. You could even change your name. You could hide out. Not to mention that you could go to God, right? And God is always ready to receive you no matter what you did. And God can always give you a new identity. There are so many biblical stories in which you can see how God shifts somebody's reality, somebody's identity. You could come to God and God will tell you, you're forgiven. Start it anew. And in a new world, you start a new life. But that also applies to other continents. It was pretty easy to just run away and hide out. Now, these days, identity has changed. Yes, you can still come to God, and you can still receive a new identity from God. The problem is you cannot run away from people, and even worse, you cannot run away from yourself. Because if you did something, if you messed up, they will come after you and they will search for you, they will seek you out. They will go on Google, they will search for your identity, and they will find you. It's almost impossible to hide from yourself. A few years ago, I was trying to purchase a French horn. I don't know if you know what a French horn is. It's a brass instrument. It's a round thing, you know. You blow it here, and there's a snail, and then it comes out here. A very interesting instrument, or the other way around, because you have left-handed and right-handed. So I go to Craigslist, because that's maybe the cheapest. And interestingly, I found one very good shape, seemed to be functional, and very close to where I was living at that time. So I write a message to that person, because that's how Craigslist operates. And in like no time, I receive an answer. Yes, the French horn is still available. So the person gives me a phone number. So with no hesitation, I'm calling the person. And when I call that person, the person answers, and I tell him, okay, I'm Joseph Salajan. Oh, he said, I know. And you're the pastor of the Romanian temple. I said, what? I mean, that was a matter of minutes, okay? How do you know, I asked. I Googled your name. Oh, really? Yeah, and it immediately showed up. Yes, I know who you are. Huh, welcome to my world. That's where you live. That's your reality. And did you know there are criminal records online? You want to know who's who? Hey, if decades ago, not hundreds of years ago, decades ago, you wanted to find something out about me, boy, you had to investigate. These days, in almost no time, you can find everything about me. And then there's social media. And there's all this conspiracy about Big Brother watching. Okay, and maybe somebody made you believe that you are being watched 24/7. You may not be that important. But listen, if you did something and you become important, I want you to know that they know where to look for, where to search for you. And whatever you do, and this is the tricky thing, you know, because you have your identity in the physical life, in the physical reality, and you say, I'm fine. All my mess is in the virtual world. Listen, when it comes to it, if they want to find you, they know where to go. Because everything you do in the virtual world leaves traces. And they will go and they will find you. So, yes, identity is a real question these days. But when it comes to Christians, believers of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, things are even more serious. Because as a Christian, you cannot afford a split identity. You cannot be two yous. Is that you? Which you is you? There's only one you. And the real you is you. No matter whether you are in the real in the physical world, or you are in the virtual world. So please see how this dynamic can simply mess your identity. You're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but then you go to the virtual reality. Okay, and now you have the impression that in the virtual reality, things are different. It's like it's not even you. You can afford doing things there that you would not do in the physical reality. And boy, is that dangerous. Again, it's about your identity. And behind split identities, there is always an identity crisis. Photoshop and all kind of video and photo editing can solve a lot of things in the virtual world. Making your profile attractive, likable, impress men, get a like from them, get a thumbs up, it's not a big deal. But that kind of cosmetics would not fix your real life issues, your problems, your challenges that you encounter in the physical reality. And because that is so important, I want you to know that there is somebody that can fix split identities, can bring you back to you, so that it's only one you, and that one you is the one that resembles Jesus Christ. Yes, people will say, yeah, I want people to see the beautiful version of myself, the best version of myself. Wouldn't you rather like people to see the real you, but the real you be the best version of you? Isn't God able to fix your identity? Of course, identity is closely connected with integrity. What is integrity? Let me ask you some real or physical life questions. How do you spend your time? What do you do? How do you speak? What do you eat? What do you wear? All these questions are in the physical life. But then let me take you to the virtual world. What do you watch? And what do you post on internet? What do you download and what do you upload on the internet? What games do you play? What kind of language do you use in the virtual world? See? I'm speaking about a reality in which you can easily be split between the physical and the virtual. But then the question is, just because it is in the virtual world, isn't that real? There's something that scientifically is called disinhibition effect. Disinhibition effect is the effect that you encounter when you enter the virtual world. Think about pictures you've posted on Facebook, on Twitter, on what other platforms? TikTok, videos, whatever you posted, Instagram, right? Think about some of those pictures or videos. And think about somebody taking a picture of you from the Facebook and put it on a billboard in front of your house. Huh? How does that feel? Pretty cringy, isn't it? Now, the disinhibition effect, they say, is about this reality when you would not do something in the physical world because you know it's not appropriate. You know it would make you uncomfortable. You will feel embarrassed. Your parents wouldn't like it. Your neighborhood would be offended. You cannot do that. But then you step into the virtual world, and now hidden behind the screen, you can do all of that, and there's no effect to it. It's like only happens there. Or you can hide behind a pseudonym, a false identity, and you can do all kind of craziness. You can lie, you can flirt, you can cheat, you can do whatever you want because it's only there. It's not you, it's just an impression of you. You can watch pornography, no problem, because hey, that will stay there in the virtual world anyways. Nobody will ever know about it. You can play violent video games, you can kill in serious, because that's only there. Nothing to do with real world. But what seems to be harmless turns out to be actually extremely dangerous. It can be extremely harmful. Let me give you a story, real story. George, 45, father of a teenager, married, happily married, to his wonderful wife. But one day he starts chatting with somebody called Janet. He gives out himself as being an 18-year-old Marine called Tom. So now George is Tom. Chatting with Janet. Janet is 17 years old. Pretty soon, his wife finds out something is wrong with her husband and asks questions. And step by step, she comes closer to what is going on, and she eventually finds out about George's romance on the internet with Janet. But he promises, "I'm sorry, I will never do this again. It will never happen again." But undercover, right? In secret, things go on and evolve. At one point, George's office colleague, Jimmy, notices something is wrong with George. So they speak, and George kind of tells him, "Hey, I'm having this crush, you know." So eventually, Jimmy decides to let Janet know she is chatting with a fraud. But believe it or not, now Jimmy falls for Janet. So now Jimmy and George start fighting for Janet's love in the virtual world. Pretty soon, the fight from the virtual world moves into the physical reality. So much so that one day, Jimmy is shot. And George is charged with murder. How did we get here? Police investigation reveals that Janet, the 17 years old Janet, is actually Mary. And Mary is Janet's mother. Married happily for 23 years, and she is an extraordinary mother to her daughter. But Mary uses her to her daughter. But Janet uses her daughter's account, and from her daughter's account, Janet's account, she was chatting with George and Jimmy. They asked her, "Did you really love George?" "No." "Did you love Jimmy?" "No." I wonder if she loved her husband though. You understand where we can get with the virtual reality. And this is all real. Yeah, it may seem to somebody that, "Oh, it happens there." No, 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 don't fool yourself. You have that verse in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." A famous scientist, a Nobel Prize winner, his name is Richard Feynman. He says, the first principle is that you must not fool yourself. And you're the easiest person to fool. The famous writer C.S. Lewis wrote the book Screwtape Letters. And in that book, there is a fictional demon. And this is what C.S. Lewis makes that demon say. All mortals tend to turn into the thing they are pretending to be. All mortals tend to turn into the thing they are pretending to be. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let me translate it in a social media context, virtual world reality, at the intersection of real life. The flirter in the virtual world will tend to become a real life adulterer. The exhibitionist, the one that exposes his or her body in the virtual world, will be inclined to do the same and get into sexual immorality in the physical world. The virtual killer can easily become a real life murderer. The pornography consumer is not very far from starting endorsing human trafficking in real life. Yes, all these things are extremely important. Somebody may say, okay, but you know, I want a like, but I don't want people to like me or not like me because of what I do. I just want people to like me because of who I am. Fair enough. The challenge is what you do in physical life and virtual reality is part of who you are. And let me tell you something. HR managers and enrollment managers know that. Did you know that nowadays when they hire you or when they enroll you as a student, beside other checks that they do, they search your online, your virtual identity as well? Let me try to give you three very important steps as to how to protect yourself, how to keep your identity together, how to protect yourself from a split identity, and how to stay a man or woman of integrity when you move in between physical reality and virtual reality. First of all, establish sound, healthy, real-life values. Having values in the real life are crucial. Because only if you have values in the real life can you take them with you in the virtual life. And your values can serve as a filter. A filter in real life, and even more so, a filter in the virtual life. Parents, please be aware of how important it is to develop in your children real life values. So they have the filtering system that they can take with themselves in the virtual world. It's almost useless to try to block them off if they don't have the real life values. But if they have real life values, they can take the real life values with themselves in the virtual world. Because nowadays, reality cannot eliminate virtual world. you have to learn how to handle virtual world. Second step, after you've established sound values in the physical reality in which you live, yes, this is my real life, these are my values, this is what I'm going to take with me in virtual reality as well. Once you've established that, the second point is, whenever you enter the virtual reality, please ask yourself, what am I going to do now in the virtual world? And once you've established what you are planning to do, please just do that. Because this is what happens. Many people, when they start or when they open their computer or their phone, they have noble thoughts. They want to do something good. But they get in there and they are hooked. Because there are people paid to give you the impression that if you just click on this for a minute or two, you will not lose anything, you will be gaining something. So yes, it's crucial for you to establish what you are planning to do, and once you know, then just do what you've planned to do. Third very important point, after you establish the values and you establish what you are going to do, whenever you are in the virtual world and you feel something is not right, because God's Spirit will always give you the signal, just ask yourself, if I were 10 years older than I am now, would I give myself a like for what I'm doing right now? Or if my beloved ones, my wife, my husband, my mother, my children, if they saw me right now, would they give me a like for what they see? And ask yourself, if God saw me, let me tell you this, He does see you in the physical reality and in the virtual world. If God saw me, would He give me a like? I believe all those three steps, not too complicated, can be very good safeguards when it comes to your move in between the two realities. Establish sound values, decide what you want to do, and ask yourself, with regard to the like that you would receive or not. We spoke about identity briefly. We spoke about integrity, how important it is to keep the same values in both realities, both the physical reality and the virtual reality, because what happens there in the virtual reality may seem fictitious or frictional, but what happens here between your ears and what happens in your heart is real, no matter if you are here in the physical world or in the virtual reality. But let me also talk about influence. We all are influenced, and we all influence. But watch this. When you are looking for a like, you're even more influenced. If you're looking for my like, you'll be influenced by me more than by other people. If I'm looking for your like, I'll be influenced by you more than by other people. And this is something that you can see as a dynamic in the realm of the youth, youngsters, young people. And I'm so glad to see that most of the crew members here this Sabbath morning are young people. Yes, this is specifically true about you guys. Well, about teenagers, about 20 plus, about 30 plus, up to my age. Okay, and a little above, okay? Charles, you are also affected to some degree. Here is the thing. When we want a like, we are easily influenced. Peer pressure. The mechanism behind peer pressure is, yes, I want a like. I want to fit in, I want thumbs up. I want somebody to appreciate me. I want somebody to appreciate me for who I am. But who's gonna appreciate you for who you are? You have to do certain things so that they will appreciate, they will like you. And the challenge of influence is huge. The question is, okay, so how are you influenced by your friends? If your friends push you or ask you to give up your values just so that they can give you a like, then don't change your values. Change your friends. The Bible says there is a law that functions when it comes to influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. Evil company corrupts good habits. And it's interesting that the Bible does not specifically say that good company improves bad habits. You know why? Because this law, evil company corrupts good habits, functions by default because of our corrupt human nature, because of our brokenness. The other one, good company improves bad habits, only functions if you become intentional about it, if you are under the work of the Holy Spirit. But this one, once you get into the bad company, you already are going with the flow. So yeah, what is the influence your friends have on you? But what is your influence on your friends? I heard a young man saying, hey, I know I'm evil, but I'm fun. And being fun is great. I mean, hey, good company. But evil and fun together, that's very toxic. That can be extremely noxious. How would you bring those elements together? One seems to be so positive, so influential. The other one, so negative, and still so influential. You know, you and I, young people and not so young, we are God's diffusers in this world. I don't know how many of you use diffusers at home to give a pleasant fragrance to your house, to your environment. Some people have discovered essential oils, and I know there's a craziness about it, so I don't want to slip in that direction, but I just want to use this illustration, okay? It's about the fragrance, not the curing power of those oils. I'm not giving medical advice here. But just sense the scent, the fragrance that comes from the diffuser. You're a diffuser. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us a beautiful insight of how we are God's diffuser. Now, thanks to God, thanks be to God, Paul says, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses. Yes, we are the diffusers. He diffuses what? The fragrance of his knowledge in every place. There's a fragrance of his knowledge through us in every place. That's influence. Verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So there are two categories. Some are being saved, some are being lost. But please notice what verse 16 says, because this is very talkative. To the one we are, so to one category, we are the aroma of death leading to death. Huh? I thought we were the aroma leading to life to everybody. No. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. Did you get this? So you are the diffuser. The same reality comes out of the diffuser, the same fragrance. But people interpret that differently. And that's what can mislead you. When you are confronted with the reactions that you receive from people, that can puzzle you, that can mix your mind up. Because you are expecting that because you are spreading this sweet fragrance of Christ, everybody will appreciate that. No. The same sweet fragrance of Christ to some people is aroma of life to life. To some others, the aroma of death to death. So let me ask you, if somebody is going to give you like, thumbs up, which one of these categories will give you like? Can you then expect both categories to give you likes? And I think this is what we have to understand and learn. That trying to get likes from everybody will not fix our insecurities. Trying to get likes from everybody will not work and make us pleasant in everybody's eyes. Because not even Jesus got a like from everybody. But when God the Father looked down and watched what Jesus was doing, how he was talking, how he was influencing, how he was spreading the fragrance of life to life, the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, to whom I'm gonna give a big, big like. Thumbs up to my beloved Son." Rita Snowden, no connection to the Snowden that was involved with some other stuff. Rita Snowden wrote some very interesting devotional books. And in one of her books, she tells the story of her visiting a small town or village in Dover, England. And she said that she was drinking her 5 o'clock tea when out of a sudden she started sensing a sweet fragrance in the air. And it was becoming stronger and stronger. So then she asked somebody, what is this fragrance coming from? And the answer was, this is coming from the workers that are coming out from a shift. The workers that work in the perfume factory. They spend some time there, and now they are out and bringing the fragrance with them. Brothers and sisters, young people and not so young. When you stay, when you sit, when you spend time in the presence of Jesus Christ, you will carry the fragrance with you in the physical world and in the virtual world. And that is your mission in today's society. Your mission is to carry the fragrance. But how are you going to carry the fragrance of Jesus Christ if you don't spend time with Him? And how can I spend time with Him? Well, there are so many ways. Yes, you can spend time reading your Bible, meditating upon the Bible. You can spend time praying, speaking with the Lord and listening to the Lord. You can spend time with Him in nature. Yes, the virus is still around, but you can find a nice park somewhere and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can spend time with Jesus Christ listening to beautiful music, uplifting music, listening to the gospel read as an audio book or podcast. Watch arts see God in the beauty of life. Study history. See how He has worked throughout the history of humanity. Spend time with godly people. Be influenced so that you can influence the right way. Yes, and that's what gives you the integrity you need. That's what fixes your identity, so that what Paul says will change around in your life. Let's go back to the Bible passage, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And I'm going to read the social media version again for you. Am I trying to impress man or God? Am I trying to get a like from man? If I were still trying to get a thumbs up from people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Change that around and say, no, I'm not trying to impress man. No, I'm not trying to get a like from man. No, I'm not trying to get a thumbs up from people, because I am a servant of Christ. Amen.
I know we're all hurting right now, but it's only for a short time, and God's glory will be had in this time so that we could be prepared for when He comes. are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us an identity that he wants to use in this world as an influence of integrity coming from you, representing your kingdom. I pray that you will bless each one of the young people and the parents, the grandparents, and each one of us in our place, rather than seeking the like or the thumbs up of people, will always seek the like coming from you, our Father. That you will say the same thing about us that you could say about Jesus Christ the Savior. Behold, my beloved son or daughter, in whom I find my pleasure. May that reality become our reality in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.